It is the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You know those cute gingerbread men you make? They trace back to the 16th century in the court of Queen Elizabeth I. She didn't actually bake the cookies herself. She was the queen, right? But story goes, she requested that her royal bakers create gingerbread cookies shaped like visiting dignitaries in order to honor them. So we're talking cookies on this Wisconsin Weekend. Dan Higgins is a food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. Dan, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me on.
So you've come up with a list of a dozen Christmas cookie recipes, all from Wisconsin home bakers. You did some serious crowdsourcing there. Pumpkin poppy seed cookies, lime and gin macaroons, cranberry Danish cookies. Lots of great flavor combinations going on here. How did you choose the recipes for this list?
It's kind of a combination of, you know, I think when it comes to this time of year, there's certain flavors that come out. I think people are always looking for, you know, nuts and chocolate and fruit and those kinds of flavors in the cookie. So that's part of it.
Chocolate? No. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I think a lot of them, quite a few of them had chocolate. You know, the cinnamon, you get, we had a couple of them that had cranberries in, which is a great Wisconsin fruit. I mean, it's a state fruit. I mean, so how could you not want a couple of cookies with cranberries in it?
Right, right. So do you have a favorite? Did one of these win you over?
As far as tasting, yeah, and I think everybody there, we had a few of the people who submitted were able to make it to the testing and were able to be in there. And I think everybody pretty much agreed that that cranberry Danish cookie was pretty much everybody's favorite. The thing is, it's really a complicated recipe, and I was watching one of the students make it. So,
and you had students making these at the college, is that right?
That's correct. What we do is we gather them up, and then they select. You know, I come up with I have maybe 20 of the ones that I got that I submitted to them, and they had 12 kids in the class, so that's why there's 12 cookies.
And this is Fox Valley Technical College Culinary Arts Program.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm sorry. I should have mentioned that. So they then select the final 12, and each student does one of the cookies, and they, so that was kind of the final selection process. I was back there, I was kind of watching them make it, and I was watching the woman who's making the Danish cookies. Kind of, there's a little bit of dexterity to get the 3-point hat thing and everything, but boy, the taste is really excellent if you've got some time to commit to that cookie, to making it. So it's a great cookie to eat, and it's probably, I would put it closer to advanced baking skill level.
At least you're honest. You know, I hate
right.
it when, like, people come on, like, yeah, you can just whip these up, and then
nope.
3 hours later in your kitchen, you're cursing, right? So
right, you're trying to get these things, they're falling apart, and then, like, even the best, even the student, you know, they had a few of them that were kind of off to the side because they either cracked or didn't quite go together right. So don't feel bad if you try that one and they don't all perfectly turn out.
So these cranberry Danish cookies, what is their consistency? What do they taste like in your mouth?
It's wrapped in just the sugar the dough part of it's, you know, pretty basic sugar cookie type flavor, but then and they're kind of a little bit more of a crunchy type rather than a soft, you know, obviously to hold that shape. And then inside you get the cranberry. It's just kind of a little bit sweet, a little bit tart, combined with the sweetness and a little bit of crunch of the cookie itself. It just makes it a really nice cookie. It's somewhat substantial. It looks really nice on a platter. So I think that's what kind of won everybody over. Plus I had the woman who submitted it sent along kind of the backstory, how she was 10 years old when her dad had brought home a plate of cookies from a friend's house or something, which didn't happen often back then, she said. And the cookie he really liked were these cranberry kind of Danish cookies. And she asked the neighbor who made the cookies to teach her how to make them at age 10, and she's been making them ever since, and would always make them for her father kind of around this time of year. It was really kind of a sweet story behind the cookie as well.
Oh, I love that. And then there's also chilling the dough overnight. Is that right?
Yep, correct. Correct. So you got to plan ahead. You got to be, you need to chill the dough. The filling even should be chilled overnight too. So, it takes a little bit of planning ahead, or at least, you know, a few hours. I put in there overnight just to be safe. I suppose you could try and do it in the course of a few hours, but.
Don't rush cookies.
No.
We're talking with Dan Higgins. He's our guide on some Wisconsin cookie recipes. He's food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. Join in 800-642-1234. What are your favorite holiday cookie recipes? Where did you find your best holiday cookie recipe? And by the way, to see the recipes we're talking about, go to the related links section on the Holiday Cookie Extravaganza page under the Morning Show section. This is the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kedar Chir-Kent. Now is the time for cookies. The tradition of cookies around the holidays goes back centuries when people celebrated the changing of the seasons from fall to winter. We're celebrating cookies created in Wisconsin here on Wisconsin Weekend, and we have a dozen cookie recipes tested by the students in the Fox Valley Technical College Culinary Arts Program. Dan Higgins is our cookie master, cookie guide. He's food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. You can chime in as well at 800-642-1234. What is your go-to Christmas cookie recipe? What's the cookie that your family clamors for each year? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Dan now, who joins us from Drummond. Hi, Dan.
Hello. We have a lady up here that makes all different kinds of Christmas cookies for the residents that live in the apartment. But for her family, she makes kolaches. And from what I understand, they just go wild over that cookie.
And Dan, how about you? What is your favorite?
My favorite are the mint chocolate chip cookies.
Nice. Dan Higgins, what are your thoughts there with what Dan says?
Always the kolache. I would never ever turn a kolache down. So you're absolutely right on the mark there. Those are fantastic. That's a great cookie to have. That was something my grandma made quite a bit, and I always enjoyed when she would make those.
Well, we had someone, I think it's Ryan here, who said from Barneveld, who called in to say that the cranberry Danish cookies that we've been talking about sound a lot like cookies baked during the Jewish holiday of Purim. And I'm going to take a stab at the pronunciation, Hamantaschen? I'm not sure there. But any thoughts there?
That very well could be.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I didn't ask the reader if where they came out, or like I said, it was.
Yeah.
I think there's carryover there too. I think you're always going to find cookies go across. I guess I didn't. It wasn't like these cookies were like they have to be. You know.
Sure.
This way or that way. I think it's all inclusive. Everybody loves cookies. Who doesn't love a cookie?
How about the Santa cinnamon surprise cookies?
Yeah, those were, that was kind of a daughter and mother team. The daughter's, you know, grade school age. And what was in, they kind of came up with this recipe just for this contest, actually. They just kind of tested it out, tried it out. I think it's kind of, you know, a cinnamon type sugar cookie. But then you get this topping of this kind of heat topping with a sort of a nice little glaze on there as well. It's got a little bit of everything you'd want in there as well. You know, you get some of the, what am I looking for?
Well, yeah, maple syrup. Yeah, right. So
yeah,
you get a nice combination.
You get that in there, and then, I don't know, a heat bar chopped up is always, to me, like... so well in everything. I mean, even if you don't eat heat bars regularly, having a little bits chopped up, especially in some ice cream or something, is just fantastic. So it adds just that extra little crunch with a little extra chocolatey kind of toffee flavor to it. So those are really good too.
Well, we have to squeeze this one in, the lime and gin macaroons. What's going on there?
Absolutely. It's a macaroon, so it's coconut-based. So if you don't like coconut, obviously, this is not your cookie. But if you like coconut, I happen to love coconut. Very, and you get the zest, the lime in there, so you get this nice bright flavors. The gin wasn't overly powering in there, so you may even want to try and add a little bit more if you want to try and bring out that flavor. But and then you kind of get that toastiness on that with the coconuts in there. And and that was a fairly simple recipe to follow. You know, that's one if you're looking for what's something kind of easy and quick that I could put together that a lot of people will like. I think that's a good one.
Well, let's go out here on what makes the best holiday cookies, in your opinion.
I think you need a variety. I don't think there's, like, a cookie that's going to... I think everybody's got different tastes. You know, some people really love chocolate. Other people really like cherries or some sort of fruit and nuts. So I think it's just finding a good variety of cookies, not making, like, five batches of the same or five different types of chocolate cookies or five different types of gingerbread cookies. I think that's the real key to having a great Christmas cookies or get it. And that's why Christmas cookie exchanges are so awesome too, because then you can get a little bit of the flavors of the season.
Well, Dan Higgins, thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you for having me on. This is great.
Dan Higgins is a food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. To see these recipes, go to the related links section on the Holiday Cookie Extravaganza page under the Morning Show section of WPR.org. You can also find the recipes in the Green Bay Press Gazette by reading Dan's article. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Think about the return on investment in a cookbook club. You spend an hour making one dish, and then you get to taste many recipes from your fellow members who cooked from the same book. It's like crowdsourcing a feast in a way. Let's bring in Joe Gray. He's food and dining editor for the Chicago Tribune, has been writing about cookbook clubs. Joe, welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
So give us the nuts and bolts here. How does a cookbook club work?
So it's very free-form. You can set it up as you like. But basically, you're picking a book and agreeing to dive deeply into it, learn it, and cook from it. And then you all get together and share your food and share what you've learned.
And when you say dive deeply into it, you're making lots of recipes from a particular cookbook.
Yeah, you're going to go into one book at a time. And the joy of it is that most of us don't really have time to cook from all the books that we buy. So as a group, you can tackle it and share the, I would say work, but, you know, more it's fun, we hope, right? And try several dishes from it all at once.
So how do you come to a consensus on what cookbook to cook from? Because everyone's got their own favorite cookbooks and then perhaps a cookbook they haven't touched. But then you're also having that investment in the people in your club because they're going to have to cook from this. So it's got to be a good cookbook. The stakes are high, right?
Right. So for our group, it's been pretty easy so far. There hasn't been a lot of There have been no arguments, and there hasn't been a lot of debate. Part of it is that we're taking turns picking, so everyone will get a chance to advocate for, I love this book, we must try it.
So very democratic.
Yes. Also, we've tended to pick newer books, so that helps us focus in on something that's new and exciting. For example, the Dory Greenspan book that came out just this fall. Even though it was new, it was in the library, and so that was easy for some of us to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. When did your cookbook club get started?
This spring, really. So we've just been at it since then, just a few months, but we've tackled four or five books already.
And what do you like about it? What brings you together with these people?
Well, these folks are all my closest friends, so it's an excuse to get together and cook together, which is a joy. So sometimes everyone's lives are so busy that you don't quite get around to it. So having a focus such as this club motivates us to, let's all get together at Lisa's house. We're all going to cook, and here's the book, and everyone's going to pick. And everyone's also a great cook in this group, so it's really a lot of fun. And most people are ambitious in making two or three dishes. I would say to your listeners, you don't have to do that. Just make one dish. Don't kill yourself.
Yeah, and then when you get together, when it's time to eat, are you really discussing a lot about each dish and talking about the ins and outs of how it came together?
Yeah, we are, because everyone's really, I mean, this is what I do for a living. You know, we test recipes in our test kitchen. We work with cookbook authors or our own reporters or our columnists, and sometimes with chefs. But this is kind of doing that with a book and doing it for fun. So we are pretty critical because we all have pretty high standards. We're all, just because we're pretty experienced in cooking, and I think that most people would have that level of being critical because they're investing in this book and they're investing their time and the money for ingredients. For example, we really liked the Smitten Kitchen Everyday book
mm-hmm.
by Deb Perlman. We had some trouble with the slanted door recipes. Charles Fun's book on Vietnamese home cooking. We really had some trouble with those recipes, and we talk about them. You know, in some cases, the directions weren't written very well.
Ah, so trouble following directions, and that you said that was Vietnamese cooking.
Yes.
Yeah, and so you're really picking up on other nationalities, other food, food from other countries. Is that also an allure of a cookbook club?
It really is. The first book we chose was Taste of Persia by Naomi.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I've interviewed her before. I love that book. Go ahead.
Oh, excellent. Well, she packs in so much information about the culture and about the food, about the ingredients, about the history. That it was really a joy to read it. So as we all know, a good cookbook goes beyond just giving us recipes. So we're looking for an experience, you know, does the person have a story to tell? And we all look for that in our day-to-day lives when we're picking a book. So finding a book like that for the club really makes it a lot more interesting.
Is there an ideal number of people in a cookbook club? Have you found the right size?
I think we have for us, for our purposes, because we want it to, this is about our friendship and about cooking together. So there's six of us in the clubs, and then with partners and spouses, we're at nine when we all get together. And I think that's about the right amount.
Joe Gray is with us. He's food and dining editor for the Chicago Tribune, giving us tips on how to start a cookbook club, how to keep it going. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Are you in a cookbook club? What books have you made recipes from so far? Any cookbooks you would recommend? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. You know, Joe, I was surprised that so many libraries here in Wisconsin are offering cookbook clubs. Is that something that you see?
I didn't know that libraries were doing that. That's awesome. I'm embarrassed to say that it's just recently that I've realized how many cookbooks libraries carry. You know, I thought, it's probably just a few. But no, the libraries here in Chicago have so many, and they get the latest ones. The Dory Greenspan book was available almost as soon as it was released.
And so even just the nuts and bolts of having to have enough cookbooks to go around, that's one way to make sure that everyone has a cookbook to go from, is by using the library.
Yes.
So, yeah, are there any pitfalls, you think, in cookbook clubs when attending or hosting a meeting at your place?
Yeah, I think that you don't want to be too ambitious. I think that if you're tackling a difficult dish or a dish with many steps or a lot of cooking time or if it has many ingredients, just do one. Don't try to do that. Oh, and I'm going to do some muffins. Oh, and I'm going to do a dip. The joy of
I just want to get a question in here, but should you have your dish fully prepared when you arrive, or can you expect your host to allow you to do some stuff to perhaps finally put the dish together? What about that protocol?
You should check ahead with your host to make sure that you're going to be able to, if your dish needs that last 5 minutes of cooking time or you need some assembly room or you need a blender to finish it off or a whisk, make sure that he or she has all those things or has time for you in the oven. You should have your dish pretty much done, except there are some dishes where they want to be prepared at the last minute and then served right away, or they'll be ruined, or they won't be as good. You'll lose texture, or something will be compromised. So definitely check ahead with your host to make sure.
Let's bring in Sarah now from Madison, who's in a cookbook club. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I wanted to call and share my own cookbook club experience. My friend Julie and I started a cookbook club for a small group of friends a year ago last August. And it's been wonderful.
What do you love about it, Sarah?
There's a sense of community that you get cooking with people and eating good meals with people that I really don't think you get else.
What have been your favorite cookbooks or favorite meetings?
We did the Jerusalem cookbook by Yadam Adelenghi, which was phenomenal. We've branched out recently, and we started doing macaron baking as well, seasonally, and that's been really fun.
Oh, neat. So you're also looking more toward baked goods as well and not full-blown meals.
Yes, we decided to branch out.
I love it. I love it. How often do you meet?
We meet once a month with our cookbook club, and then the macarons we've started baking seasonally.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. Joe Gray, any thoughts there on what Sarah has in mind?
I love the idea of adding another layer with the macaron club. That's beautiful.
So are there any really standout cookbooks you would recommend for people who are just starting out with their cookbook club? Where should they begin?
I think they should push themselves to not pick something they've already cooked from, because for me, the joy of the cookbook club is this discovery that all of you together are tackling a new book and learning from it. And we just published our favorite 10 cookbooks of the season at the ChicagoTribune.com. We published that this week. And there's a great variety here, and I would pick from those books. In fact, I would recommend the book Season by Nick Sharma. This book has been getting a lot of attention this season, and it's beautiful. He shot all his own photography. He's Indian by birth and has lived in this country for a while, and so he's adapted some of his ways of cooking to local ingredients. So I think it would be that type of book would be a great
journey. Well, Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Joe Gray is a food and dining editor for the Chicago Tribune. He's been telling us about how to start and enjoy a cookbook club here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.